Tomorrow marks the 250th anniversary of the country's independence, but Wisconsin wouldn't join the nation until more than 70 years after its founding. But the many tribal nations who called this region home were closely tied to European settlers by 1776 and became part of Revolutionary War history. University of Wisconsin-Madison professor John Hall joined Wisconsin Life's Bridget Bowden to talk about that history and life in the region 250 years ago.
John Hall, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So as we know, Wisconsin was not a state in 1776. So can you tell us who was here at that time and what did life look like for them?
Yeah, so the principal residents of what we today call Wisconsin are, of course, Wisconsin's First Nations, indigenous peoples to the region. And those include people who have lived in what we call Wisconsin for time immemorial. They include the Ojibwe or Anishinaabe, the Dakota, the Menominee, the Ho-Chunk, also known as the Winnebago, Potawatomi, and also at that time, Sauk and Meskwakis, also known as the Fox, who were not originally indigenous to Wisconsin, but had migrated into this part of the Western Great Lakes over the preceding century.
What sort of trade networks existed at the time among the tribes in what would become Wisconsin and also with European settlers in the area?
So this would include both very, very old organically native trade networks, right, with native nations trading with one another as they had for centuries, if not millennia. But then it is also imbricated in a global trade network, or at least a transatlantic trade network. It had been with the French primarily prior to 1776, and the British, when they assumed putative control or claims to suzerainty over this region after 1763, the British then become essential providers to these native nations of European manufacturers, which by this point, most native peoples have come to depend upon.
And how were the region's tribes affected by the American Revolution and the other events of 1776?
So originally not very much. British administrators at the very early stages of the war did not want to involve native nations. I mean, they made a practical decision to not try to pull native peoples into this war as military allies until about 1778. And by then, they do make an effort among Wisconsin tribes to recruit native warriors to follow Charles Longglide, who is sometimes called the father of Wisconsin, east to help with gentleman Johnny Burgoyne's invasion of New York from Canada in 1777. Larger participation in the hostilities of the American Revolution won't come until 1780, when Longglide assembles a larger contingent comprising most of the tribes who lived in Wisconsin at that time. They gather at Prairie du Chien and launch an expedition against St. Louis, which is under the control of the Spanish, who are in this war, what I would call frenemies of the United States. They're not necessarily close allies of the United States, but they have an enemy in kind, and that is Great Britain. So other than raising military contingents to go east in the case of the Burgoyne expedition or to go south in the case of the St. Louis expedition, the war doesn't visit what are the present day boundaries of the state.
Historian John Hall, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was UW-Madison history professor John Hall speaking with Wisconsin Life's Bridget Bowden. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton.